fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We put the R&B in RBBC.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, recapping the first Sunday of the 2017 fantasy football season. Oh, my gosh, Jamie, the number one overall pick. Come on. In week one.
It was a good day for a lot of players. It was an awful day for a lot of players and some big injuries and David Johnson. You know, I don't want to overshadow Allen Robinson's situation because he's a great player and looks like he has a torn ACL. But in terms of what we talk about for fantasy, losing David Johnson for what could be 8 weeks, according to Chris Mortensen, would be worse.
It would be really bad. And hey, Kerwin Williams, maybe he's your answer. But yeah, kind of a bummer. And I got, you know, obviously every week I'm going to get flack for the bonanza because they're always terrible. But there really wasn't one this week. It wasn't It wasn't a great offensive game.
A game where there was a back and forth
for both teams that did well.
I mean,
the
Rams had a bonanza.
The Lions kind of did, kind of.
Yeah,
but it was mostly Stafford. There wasn't one game where everybody or almost everybody fantasy relevant really stepped up. So it was kind of a defensive struggle in week one. And let's get into it. We got winners and losers. Although I'm tired of winners and losers. I'm tired of studs and duds. I'm going to pick movie winners and movie losers every week. This week we have three Rockies and three Dragos. All right. That work?
Sure. Yeah,
good. But first, the big news. So David Johnson left with a wrist injury, and we're recording on Sunday night at about 8:30 p.m. Eastern. I love you, audience, so much. I love you guys and girls so much that I am not watching the Giants-Cowboys game right now. I mean, I kind of am. It's on, but I'm not really watching it. And Jamie loves you all so much. He's doing this from a hotel in New York or Connecticut. I forget. Connecticut.
Stanford, Connecticut.
Yeah. And... Our office still closed in Fort Lauderdale, so if Jamie doesn't sound 100% right, it's because we don't have the equipment up there. He's just using his laptop speaker, his mic, so thank you for bearing with us. But the big news, David Johnson, wrist injury. Kerwin Williams did score a touchdown. He's obviously widely available. Is he going to be a must-add? Yeah. Kerwin Williams.
Of course. I mean, if we find out, you know, come Tuesday morning that David Johnson, that the report is accurate, that he's going to miss that much time, you know, 8 weeks or whatever the case may be, then it's a tough situation for him. And just to let you know that Ian Rappaport has confirmed torn ACL for Allen Robinson.
Oh, all right. And the 8 weeks that Jamie's saying, I mean, that's just speculation right now. We don't know. For David Johnson, it could be much less than that. So... we'll talk about it. We got the waiver wire show on Tuesday. I'm sure Ellington will be in there as well. But Williams came in, got a touchdown, and believe it or not, I do own him in one of the leagues that I own David Johnson. But last year I avoided all the stud running backs. I was worried about injuries. And this year I said, no, I got the number one overall pick in a few leagues. I'm taking David Johnson, and this is what I get.
How about I have him in one league, and I had him in the first round, Ezekiel Elliott in the second round. And I thought, oh, I'm gold,
you
Jerry,
are.
Gold.
You still are. I mean, maybe. You still have a first-round pick in the second round. Ty Montgomery limped off in the fourth quarter, but he came back. LeSean McCoy got hurt in the fourth quarter, but he came back. Danny Woodhead, on the other hand, he left in the first quarter with a hamstring injury. He dealt with a hamstring injury in the preseason, so it would not be surprising to see Woodhead miss some time. And we saw Buck Allen, Javoris Allen, come in and get 21 carries for 71 yards. A lot of those came in garbage time. The Ravens won big. So he'll be on the waiver wire, and he'll be in the column, probably, depending on the severity of Woodhead's injury. And by the way, we'll go through every game. We'll do some buy or sell. We got some good stuff for you on today's show. Allen Robinson, torn ACL. All right, who's the immediate winner? Obviously, you know, a lot of losers in this situation, but who's the winner there if there is one in Jacksonville?
I would say it's Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns. You know, you're looking at the two guys that would step up. You know, they didn't really have to throw the ball a lot because their defense was so dominant and Leonard Fournette was awesome. So you have a situation of Allen Hurns got four targets. Marquise Lee had four targets. Lee did nothing with those four targets. Hurns had three catches for 42 yards. I said it, you know, from the beginning when everybody started to jump on the Jaguars that we really had to see what this offense would look like. And it was exactly what they thought it was going to be. Run the ball, play defense, limit Blake Bortles, and you saw how great it could be if things work right for them. So I don't know if there's anybody I'm running out to go get, but Marquise Lee would probably be the name that I would look at first.
Yeah, and they were able to run the ball because they were destroying the Texans. It was a bit surprising. So
yeah, huge surprise.
Yeah, yeah. It was a huge surprise. All right, other notes for you. Jordan Reed has a – was it a broken toe they revealed?
Fractured in his toe, yes.
He played through it. He said before the game that he was pain-free. And I thought about picking up Vernon Davis, Jamie, but I didn't. Are you going to recommend people go out and pick up Vernon Davis?
No, but I did find it interesting. We play in a fantasy league, our IDP league, with Ben Standig, who does some work for, I believe it's CSN Washington, website that covers the Redskins. And he actually this morning picked up Vernon Davis. Mm-hmm. So whenever I see stuff like that, when we play fantasy leagues, you know, we have a lot of contact with beat writers and things of that nature. And so when I see something like that, it makes me a little bit curious. But I don't think until Vernon Davis goes down. And what we saw today from certain guys, specifically somebody like Charles Clay, I'd rather have Charles Clay than Vernon Davis if Jordan Reed is out.
Really?
Yeah. Because Vernon Davis wasn't great last year when Jordan Reed got hurt.
No, he wasn't. And
Charles Clay has been very good in the last several games with Tyrod Taylor.
And it was kind of ironic that Clay was having a really good finish to last season. Then he got the Jets in week 17. It looked like, oh, he's going to have a great week, and he didn't. But he made up for it today with a touchdown catch.
Could have had two. He dropped one that led to a Tyrod Taylor interception.
Darn you, Charles Clay. Andrew Luck may not play for several more weeks, according to Jason Lockenfora. Jacoby Brissett ended up replacing Scott Tolzien today, and he quickly hit Dante Moncrief for a 50-yard pass. So, but this stinks. I mean, we're going to have to make tough decisions on T.Y. Hilton now every week until Andrew Luck is back, and we'll see what happens there.
And the worst part of it is the guy we thought that would be good to replace Andrew Luck was completely terrible and may have lost his best player in Carson Palmer.
Oh, Carson Palmer. Oh, he lost David Johnson. Yeah, I didn't know he was coming. Yeah,
Palmer get the Colts next week, which Jared Goff carved up.
The Lions defense played really well today, and I wonder if that, you know, if Carson Palmer's to blame for that, or if the Lions, honestly, I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I forgot the Lions made the playoffs last year until about a week ago. Like, they had a
very good team, and they added, you know, a couple of young defenders, Jared Davis for sure. They embarrassed the Cardinals today.
Yeah, they did. They played really well, and they're a great fourth quarter team. They were last year, and they were again in week one. And finally, Deshaun Watson replaced Tom Savage at halftime for Houston. Bill O'Brien has not announced who will start in week two.
He will.
Yeah. Jacksonville had 10 sacks in this game. It's a Thursday night game at Cincinnati, and it was good for DeAndre Hopkins. I think Hopkins got 11 targets in the second half with Watson, and that does not include three plays that didn't count because of penalties that he was targeted on. So Watson was really looking at him. He had 16 targets in the game, 11 of them in the second half, not including those three plays that had penalties.
Comment in the preseason of Tom Savage is my guy or whatever he said. Yeah. I like Tom Savage. I'm happy for Tom Savage. Yeah. No, you're not.
No, you're not. All right, let's do the Rockies and the Dragos. Give me three Rockies, three winners in week one.
Matthew Stafford has to be the quarterback. Now, Alex Smith would be in this conversation too, clearly, but Stafford took apart a very good defense, and he did it with Dave's guy, Kenny Golladay, two touchdowns, and very, very impressive. So he's the number one guy in terms of the biggest Rocky winner. He would be Rocky One.
Yeah, no, Rocky didn't even win in Rocky One.
Yeah, but Rocky One won the Academy Award. So
okay, I accept your argument. So Stafford, next week he will be at the Giants on Monday night, and then Atlanta, and then at Minnesota. It was weird. Like, we looked at the Lions schedule, and we said, oh, Carson Palmer's got this great early schedule. And then we looked at the Lions schedule. Oh, Stafford's got this terrible early season schedule so far.
No Taylor Decker either.
It hasn't been. No Taylor Decker. That's right. So, Stafford is a winner. And at this point, you know what? Let's not do rest of season rankings. We got time for that.
Let's just stop for a second and give Dave his kudos. He's not on the show, and the Kenny Golladay call. You know, as I tweeted out in Dave's honor, the ghost of Tajae Sharpe is gone. For 1 week, Dave should be celebrating, hands up high, pounding his chest. He talked up Kenny Golladay, and I know a lot of people didn't start him clearly, but kudos to Dave, and hopefully that's a sign of things to come because that will make that offense a lot better.
And not just like that he caught two touchdowns, Kenny Golladay, that he's 34% owned. He had four catches for 69 yards and two touchdowns. Marvin Jones got Patrick Peterson in this game. for a lot of it at least. So keep that in mind. But
and he scored though.
Hey, he did score. But I think he only had two catches, Jones. Those touchdown catches by Galladay, especially the deep one. I mean, he makes really good plays. That's exciting stuff. And we saw it in the preseason too. So yeah, he's a winner. All right. You have Leonard Fournette, the first Jaguar to rush for 100 yards in his NFL debut or his Jaguars debut, which would probably be the same thing. Fournette is a winner for you.
You got to be impressed. I mean, we thought that the Texans defense would slow him down. Three catches, I think, is nice to see that he was involved in the passing game. So 124 total yards, the touchdown. I know the yards per carry, under four. So what? The usage was there. All this, there was such a stupid report before the game that Chris Ivory was going to be the starter. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's we can't buy this stuff.
No. He remember. It's the ebbs and flows of an NFL season, and the preseason was, we told you in the beginning part of the year, it's and my fault, Dave's fault, Keith's fault, not that we really changed our rankings very much, but we got away from Leonard Fournette. It was, we fell in love with Kareem Hunt and McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook, and we still had Fournette, I'll speak for myself, I still had Fournette ranked first in standard leagues. I had it Fournette 1, Cook 2, Hunt 3, McCaffrey 4. So Fournette was just inside my top 12, but we kind of forgot about him a little bit because he missed the three preseason games with a foot injury. And this is what he's capable of doing, a workhorse back that can produce big stats, and hopefully it's a sign of things to come for him.
And you just love the opportunity, and he just completely out-touched Chris Ivory. And TJ Yeldon didn't play, but I don't know how much of a difference that made. So good for
Leonard Fournette. No, he's the guy. It's you don't spend the fourth overall pick and not make him the guy.
Just maybe with the catches, that's all. But, you know. That could be Yeldon's role. But no, I think he can catch three balls a game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That would be about 50 a year. Matthew Stafford, Leonard Fournette, and Amari Cooper. And I was like, why Amari Cooper? He's a stud. Yeah, he caught a touchdown. You made a good point about Amari Cooper. Why is he a Rocky, a winner this week?
I don't know the final stats of what the red zone targets were, so I apologize. But there was one drive where I think it was three straight passes. They tried to get him the ball in the red zone, and he scored the touchdown in the red zone. Now, granted, he made a hell of a play to get into the end zone, but if that's going to be the case, 13 targets. I believe he had more targets than Michael Crabtree. I'm going to look at it right now. So if that's going to be something moving forward, the third-year breakout will come for him, and it will come in a big way, because if they continue to feature him in the areas where you need to feature a wide receiver, he's going to have the chance for a big year. So not a huge stat line. And he did, 13 targets to 7.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
If that's the case moving forward, almost 2-1. Cooper's going to have a big, big year. And the best thing about it is, Crabtree didn't have a bad game. 6 for 83, just didn't score a touchdown.
Yep. And by the way, just to go back to Fournette, would you rather have Fournette or Kareem Hunt rest of season?
Oh, still Fournette, just with the chance of what he could be. But they're so close. They were so close in my rankings. I don't want to run away from Fournette because of Kareem Hunt's monster game.
All right, hey, by the way, you're hearing Jamie's audio break up just a little bit. Just keep in mind, he's at a hotel room. He doesn't have Ethernet, so he's on Wi-Fi. And we're sorry about all the technical issues. We really haven't had that many, but it just hasn't been ideal. Nothing's been normal for the last 5 days or so for anybody in that Fort Lauderdale office. I'm lucky things have been normal for me, but not for anybody else. And we've been putting a lot of effort into making sure we get you these podcasts. Just a bonus winner for me is the Baltimore DST. They're 68% owned. Jamie, you called it. I mean, they could be great this year, and they got off to an amazing start. Andy Dalton threw 15 interceptions over his previous two seasons. He threw 4 in this game. Baltimore was great, and they have Cleveland at home next week. So, I mean, they might be the number one waiver wire priority for a lot of fantasy owners if you don't need anyone else at other spots. Baltimore DST.
I'll tell you, before we started the show, I spent the afternoon, you know, watching games as best I could. Our, as Adam said, our setup's a little bit different the way we normally do things. But I started to do my DST rankings, and I'm having a hard time between the Seahawks against the 49ers because the 49ers looked awful in Seattle, and the Ravens against the Browns, because I think those two should be 1 and 1A with how good they could potentially be, because the Steelers beat up the Browns and DeShone Kizer today. But it's hard to get away from Seattle against Brian Hoyer and the 49ers.
I mean, I would have gotten away from Seattle against the Packers, and they did a pretty
job. I'm talking about week two.
I know. I'm just saying they did a very good job against the Packers. You know, yep. they're going to do great, obviously, against the 49ers. Those are your winners. We'll do losers in a second. Sorry to be harsh here, but if you don't use Harry's razors, you're kind of a loser. If you need a shave, It's a no-brainer. But yeah, be a Rocky. Don't be a Drago, Jamie. Get a Harry's razor. First of all, you're going to get a better shave. I can tell you that from experience. I'm a big, big fan of Harry's razors. It's the only razor I use now. No reason to go back. You're also going to get everything you need for free. Just pay for shipping. Next time you need to get up and put on pants, who does that? Go to get your car keys and go to the store and overpay for a crappy razor or crappy blades. Don't do it. Just use Harry's instead and go to harrys.com/FFT. harrys.com/FFT. Get the free trial set. And this is what you get. A weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover. Be a Rocky. Go get this thing. The only thing you're paying for is shipping. That's an awesome deal for an awesome product. So take advantage of the offer. Harry's Razors, harrys.com, harrys.com/FFT. All right, the Dragos. I must break you. Who were the losers from week one?
Several, unfortunately, due to injury, you know, and I think a lot of people are going to look at Le'Veon Bell and call him a loser, but I don't know if I want to rush to do that. But Russell Wilson, you know, I was very high on him, and this is something Dave and I disagreed on our Sunday morning show. And again, kudos to Dave for getting that call right on Russell Wilson. Sorry, Adam, here comes Ezekiel Elliott touchdown. So Russell Wilson, terrible, terrible game. Now, he had a couple bad calls at the end. I thought Jimmy Graham should have got at least a pass interference call on one of the touchdown attempts in the end zone, and I never pronounce his name right, but the rookie Darbo had a drop that could have led to a score as well, but he was bad. You want me to just keep going so you can watch the game?
No, it's okay. No, Russell Wilson. Well, I think the thing with Russell Wilson is that the offensive line looked horrible, you know, and that's going to be an issue for the Packers just in general. The offensive line, the last time, I mean, for the Seahawks, the last time they played the Packers in Lambeau last year, he threw 5 interceptions and he was on his back the entire game. It wasn't quite that bad this time, but they got manhandled up front, and that's a huge issue for the Seahawks. Good news for Wilson is that he's healthy and he ran for 40 yards. So that's good, but he only scored 8 points. Got the Niners bounce back against the Niners, Titans, Colts. Next 3 games for Wilson, Jamie.
Big, big run coming for Russell.
Joe Mixon was a loser for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing really went right for the Ravens in that game, but 8 carries for 9 yards, 3 catches for 15 yards. It was a bad debut. It's funny because, you know, you look at the rookie running backs. We had Kareem Hunt, monster. Leonard Fournette, monster. Joe Mixon, dud. Christian McCaffrey, dud. And we're going to find out if Dalvin Cook, as the 5th guy that we've been highlighting all the time, can be that, you know, next great player.
I don't want to call McCaffrey a total dud because he had 5 catches.
He fumbled.
He did fumble. But he had, what, almost 80, about 80 total yards, 85 total yards? So that's
I think the fumble, he didn't come back in after the fumble. And, you know, so a little frustrating for his debut.
Yeah, no doubt. But, you know, you like to see the catches. Wow, how about that? First and goal for the Cowboys, and they didn't
no carries
give
for
the
Ezekiel
ball
Elliott.
To Ezekiel Elliott. But they might get another first and goal. We'll see. All right, other losers. You have Wilson, you have Joe Mixon, and Davante Adams. So this was interesting. First of all, buy or sell, Randall Cobb is back.
Bye after one game, you know, a lot of short area passes and he looked great, but it's hard to know if they just went away from one side of the field. You know, I didn't see him throwing on Richard Sherman a lot. The other part of it is that Jeremy Lane got thrown out of the game very early on the interception that Aaron Rodgers threw. And I think that really hurt that Seattle defense because he's such a big part of that secondary.
Yeah. And Sherman was the one who was, covering Adams most of the game. Like Adams got more Sherman, I think, than any
probably.
Other. Yeah.
But I think the thing would be is that you see Jordy score. He did his thing. You see Cobb involved. And can they support all these guys? Because we've seen 2 guys do well, but we don't necessarily always see 3 guys do well for the Packers.
No, but you can't, after 1 week, there's no way you think Cobb is going to be better than Adams, right?
No. But right. It's just loser for week one.
Yeah, okay. Week one loser. More news and notes for you. Some offensive line injuries. Arizona offensive tackle DJ Humphreys left with a knee injury. Cincinnati offensive guard Trey Hopkins left with a knee injury. Philadelphia left tackle Jason Peters had an injury. And Bears offensive guard Kyle Long did not play. Back Bears running back's very interesting, worth discussing. We'll get to it. Kevin White may have broken a collarbone. That could end his season. Ronald Darby had a gruesome injury. So the Eagles just traded for Darby. That was the Jordan Matthews trade. They got this cornerback from the Bills. Dislocated his ankle in the 2nd quarter. Tough to see. If you're an IDP, I don't know how owned Calais Campbell is, but he's a beast. He had 3.5 sacks in the first half.
He's owned across the board.
Yeah, all right. This is going to be his best game of the year. But 3.5 sacks in the first half for Campbell. I don't even know what he finished with, but he's a new Jaguar. That defense could be really, really good, especially if they play Houston. Speaking of Houston, both tight ends, starting tight ends, Ryan Griffin and C.J. Fedorowicz, they both left with concussions. Pittsburgh linebacker T.J.
They had three tight ends actually leave with concussions.
They did.
Yep. Third one.
And T.J. Watt had two sacks and a pick in his NFL debut. That's crazy. I don't know how owned he is, but could be a stud for the Steelers. And Brian Cushing left with a concussion. That's the fourth concussion for Houston, their linebacker. San Francisco rookie linebacker Reuben Foster had a leg injury. And if you need a kicker, Giorgio Tavecchio had a very good debut for the Raiders. He kicked four field goals of 20, 52, 52, and 43 yards. All right, let's do some buy or sell. Buy or sell. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are not as far ahead of the pack as we thought.
Buy.
Really?
It's a great quarterback group. The whole league is filled with good quarterbacks.
Yeah, but
those two are the best.
That's why I said as we thought. Like, have you changed? They both had bad week ones.
Let's put things in perspective.
Uh-huh.
No Drew Brees yet.
Right.
So let's see how he does, because he's the third guy. And then my fourth and fifth guys were just awful.
I own them both in the two quarterback league. I own both of them in the two quarterback league.
Russell Wilson and Mariota?
Yeah, that's going to be 0-1 for me.
Right. So you're going to have Wilson. You illustrated the schedule. But I think that's the fun part of it, is that I was watching games with my cousin, and he said, I finally listened to you, and I waited and I waited and I waited, and I took a quarterback, and I took Matthew Stafford. And so he's loving life right now.
Yeah.
After what Stafford did. And I think we're still going to see Alex Smith's going to be very popular in the waiver wire. Jameis didn't play. You know, Carson Wentz played really well.
He did.
Ben Roethlisberger played well on the road. We still don't know when Andrew Luck's going to come back, and if he does come back and plays at the level he's capable of, that's going to make things a little bit closer. So it's kind of why we say don't necessarily reach for a quarterback.
Yeah, okay, but okay, let me – okay, fine. So let's say you were taking Aaron Rodgers in the third round. That was when
Which is fine. Perfect.
What about now? Do you think – would you downgrade?
Still would. I'm not to change that after one game.
Right. All right. Yeah, I know. I know a lot of this stuff is going to be kind of ridiculous, but it is.
No, I understand why you're asking it, but – you know, I think we talked about this a little bit with Brady on Friday. If Brandon Cooks comes down with two of those touchdowns that set up the Mike Gillisley scores, or Gronk scores that touchdown, nobody is saying anything about Tom Brady at all.
No. You shouldn't. Wentz, I wanted to say, I watched a lot of that game because it was a local game for me. So I had Red Zone on TV, and I had a couple games on the laptop, and the Eagles-Redskins one I focused on. And this, he could really be very good. I think he's going to be a little mistake prone. I don't know if this is going to be Wentz's like true breakout year, but he's a great athlete. He got away from pressure a lot.
That's the thing. That Aguilar touchdown is fluky.
It is.
You know, I was at the time with an Eagles fan, and he was like, "Wow, that was like Donovan McNabb to DeSean Jackson." You know,
the McNabb part, like I get, like it was a great play by Wentz. Like, let's not call Aguilar DeSean Jackson, but
it was just, you know, getting out of extreme trouble and then just chucking it, and there's a guy wide open.
It was good, no doubt.
But yeah, we haven't seen, you know, Jeffrey didn't have a great game. Ertz I thought was fantastic, and Aguilar looks like he's going to be a big player for them.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll get into that in a bit. Tariq Cohen, buy or sell. Tariq Cohen will cut into Jordan Howard's production.
Buy. He looks good.
He looks awesome. Not like every down back awesome, but Tariq Cohen's going to have a role.
Yeah, I think it's, Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles type situation.
Yeah. And remember with Howard still scored the touchdown. They're one, a very, very good offensive lineman, and Kyle Long did not play.
Well, and that's a good thing, because I don't know where Dave moved Jordan Howard. I kind of sunk Jordan Howard a little bit after the Kyle Long news came out.
You did?
Yeah, he's still a number two running back for me. I didn't tell anybody to bench him, but I dropped him to like 15 or 16 in the standard rankings, and I think like 20 in PPR.
By yourself.
Yeah, you have to pick up Tariq Cohen. He's in the same discussion like we were talking about. Chris Carson didn't have a great game, but he played okay. Smallwood, the thing that didn't materialize. Matt Breida, we haven't really seen what they're going to do with him yet. But, I mean, if you were unhappy with any of those guys, drop them and pick up Tariq Cohen for sure.
Frank Gore is in a legit running back by committee by or sell. Frank Gore, legit RBBC.
I don't want to – if I had to lean, I would lean by. But it's hard to say how this game would have gone if it was competitive for the Colts, if they would have leaned on Frank Gore a little bit more. So I thought Marlon Mack scored a touchdown. I don't know why that wasn't reviewed.
He did. They should have reviewed it. That was a catch. It was a 21-yard catch. He got in. They should have reviewed it, and they didn't. He did score a touchdown, though, later in the game, a rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
For Marlon
Mack.
No, I'm
sorry. The first touchdown. Excuse me.
Right. He should have had two on the day. And then even Robert Turbin got some goal line stuff. Buy or sell, Ty Montgomery is absolutely not in a running back by committee.
Buy. I mean, you know, he had a little bit of a scare. I think they were looking at his left leg. Hopefully it was his knee. And remember, Heath brought this up a couple times over the course of the preseason, that he also has the sickle cell trait. And, you know, any soft tissue injury could take a little bit longer for him to heal. So hopefully he's not dealing with anything. He did come back into the game after getting hurt.
Right.
And Jamal Williams had one run. He looked fine on the one run, at least the one run that I saw after Montgomery came out.
It was a good run. So, it was a good run.
Huh?
He had two carries for 9 yards. That was a good one. But I think, you know,
it's Montgomery's job, without question.
Yeah.
And I will say this, and I'll fully admit it. This is going to be the guy I'm the most wrong on. If this is the sign of things to come.
Okay. Ty Montgomery.
So I apologize if you followed me on that advice.
That's okay. Hopefully you followed Heath on that one. That's why we're a team here. But you never know. You never know. In fact, I was watching the game thinking, like, he takes on a lot of contact. He might have trouble staying healthy. And then, of course, Montgomery left with an injury, but he came back.
He looked a little, and there was, they even brought this up on the broadcast. He looked a little gassed at one point, and this was the second most carries he's ever had.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to wonder if they'll catch up to him.
It remains to be seen if Montgomery can handle the full workload.
Yep.
Buy or sell, Carlos Hyde will be a PPR stud, but not so much in standard scoring.
I will buy the first part of it, but I think that will just lead to him being good in standard as well. Because if he's going to be involved in the passing game, he's going to be involved touching the ball, which is the great thing that you hope to see. So he's fine. He's a very safe number two running back moving forward. Going to be tough for him next week, clearly, but I think you're still going to, you know, roll him out there and start him every week.
All right, that's Carlos Hyde. I think he had 6 catches today and looked, you know, played that Atlanta running back role, catching the ball, but they did struggle running it against Carolina. They will struggle.
Boyer looked terrible.
I didn't see much of it. So,
yeah, he looked bad.
I'll take your word. Buy or sell, I am an idiot for dropping... I guess I could just stop the sentence there, but I'll keep going. I am an idiot for dropping LeGarrette Blount for Wendell Smallwood.
Let me rephrase it. I am an idiot for using the word bonanza.
No, it's not my fault. They all suck today.
Yeah, LeGarrette Blount, look, a receiving touchdown. Where did that come from?
That was... what an insult. Insult to injury.
It's funny because I struggled with – I wanted to pick up Chris Carson. I picked up Chris Carson in a bunch of leagues last night. I told people to pick up Chris Carson. And there was one league where I had Wendell Smallwood. I actually drafted Chris Carson, dropped him from Wendell Smallwood, and I wanted to pick up Chris Carson again. But I had a stupid situation. It's a keeper league where Jameis was my only quarterback, so I had to drop somebody. I didn't want to anyway. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to drop Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah,
and
good for you.
I don't feel bad about it now.
Good for you. I mean – I still think he could be a better running back than Blount, but he's not, like, it's not as well. He had 4 carries in the game and didn't do well with them.
Yep.
Now, buy or sell, Jesse James is worth a look in 12-team leagues. Jesse James, 2 touchdowns today for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what role Vance McDonald will play moving forward, but this was a great performance by Jesse James, you know, and there was a couple tight ends. I don't know if we all collectively ranked it this way. I know I did not, but I know as a group, we talked about Austin Hooper. We talked about Jesse James after the Ladarius Green injury, but before Vance McDonald came on board. Charles Clay was another one we talked about, you know, certainly leading up to the game. But you know what Roethlisberger's history has been. It's never been a dominant tight end, but it was Heath Miller was a security blanket for him and had some good years and one great year. And so they've been kind of looking for that. But we didn't see a great game from Martavis Bryant. We certainly didn't see the great game from Le'Veon Bell. So I don't know if that's going to be sustainable. I think Jesse James, you're chasing more so than you're counting on some. Like, if you're asking me Charles Clay or Jesse James, I'm taking Charles Clay.
Yeah, and they got a much tougher matchup next week with the Vikings coming to town. That said, if I'm asking you Jack Doyle or Jesse James, knowing that Luck might miss, I don't know, maybe a month, would you make that swap?
I think at that point I would probably just be in the streaming mode.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have to be James.
Right.
But
I'll tell you what, though. The beginning of that game, it was Tolzien Doyle. Two catches on the first drive, or at least the first quarter. He had two catches on one drive for Jack Doyle.
Buy or sell, Kenny Golladay and Cooper Kupp are must-own wide receivers. Golladay and Kupp must-own.
I think you know how I feel about Kupp, and I'm probably going to be in the minority by saying this, but I would rather have Cooper Kupp than Kenny Golladay because I think he's going to be involved more. I think that it's you're going to be chasing touchdowns with Golladay. Golladay has the higher ceiling, but I just think Cooper Kupp is a better fit for what the Rams offense does than what Golladay will be for what the Lions offense is. And again, maybe wrong about that, but I like Kupp better than Golladay. But yes, they both should be owned. These are guys that we touted a lot in the preseason, and they delivered in big, big ways in week one.
Yep, Cooper Kupp, 36% owned, right about the same ownership as Golladay. Four catches, 76 yards, and a touchdown on six targets for the Rams. Waiver wire will be fun with some wide receivers. And finally, buy or sell, Chris Carson, 21% owned, will be the best Seattle running back in 2017. Chris Carson, best Seattle running back.
I'll buy that, but you know, it's hard to fully judge without Thomas Rawls being there. So Rawls is going to be a guy that's probably going to deal with a lot of injuries throughout the course of his career. High ankle sprain forced him out of this game. I would hope, if I'm a Chris Carson guy, and I'm a Chris Carson guy, that they let him sit in terms of Rawls week two so that Carson gets that game against the 49ers.
Yeah, the thing is, like, Carson, why am I even saying this? He had six carries for 39 yards and one catch, but Lacy had five carries for 3 yards. Like,
well, Lacy's not, it's not even Lacy anymore. It's Carson versus Rawls.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, already he's looking like at worst the number two running back on the team. And with Rawls' injury history, Carson looks like a pretty talented player. So at 21% owned, that is an under-owned player right there. Let's go through all the games, Jamie. Before we do that, though, football season is now officially back. Plenty of games to go to, or maybe you want to go to a concert or a comedy show or theater. You can use SeatGeek for all of these, and you can save $20 with our promo code FFT, and that is awesome. Download the SeatGeek app, there it is, and use the promo code FFT. So look, I use SeatGeek every time I need tickets. It makes this process, which used to be so annoying, very simple, very cost-effective. SeatGeek goes out, searches multiple ticket sites, then it says, hey, dude, here are the best tickets, here are the best values, buy these seats. Oh, hey, you want $20 off? All right, type in FFT at checkout. Every purchase is fully guaranteed. This has been one of the best apps I've downloaded in the last few years, so please join me and start using SeatGeek. Our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase, so download the app and enter the promo code FFT. Again, download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Look, I'm just going to take a quick aside from the games that have already happened and take a look at a game that's happening now. Of course, when you all listen, you know, it'll be old news. But it's late first quarter. It's 3-0 Dallas. They're going to win by at least 14 points. This is going to be a slaughter. They're going to just kill the Giants.
Wow.
Yeah, it's over. So, all right, Jamie. Philadelphia at Washington. A quasi-bonanza. 30-17. Eagles with the road win. The 58-yard touchdown throw to Nelson Agholor, as Jamie said, it was fluky. It was nuts. And other than that, Agholor, he had like five other catches. He had five other catches and 28 yards on the other plays. It's other than the broken play, 58-yard touchdown.
Sure. But eight targets is nice.
It is, yeah. So Agholor, Golladay, Kupp, is he in that same group or is he behind them?
He's behind for me. But, you know, this is still a team that, as you saw last year, with Carson Wentz, he leans on the middle of the field. You saw it with Jordan Matthews. You see it with Zach Ertz. Ertz had a big day. So there'll be some games where Agholor is putting up the Alshon Jeffrey stat line of 3 for 38.
Any thoughts on this game? Rob Kelly, like the Redskins were bad. Kirk Cousins scored 12 points. Rob Kelly had 10 carries for 30 yards. Chris Thompson had a pretty awesome 29-yard touchdown catch. Jordan Reed, 5 catches, 36 yards. A lot of the tight ends were just awful this week.
I didn't have the volume on, but the play where the Eagles, where Fletcher Cox scored the touchdown, it really looked like Kirk Cousins threw that ball.
Don't get it. The announcer was saying, he said first, that looks like a fumble. And then he looked at the replay and he said, I think I'm wrong. And then they brought on Mike Piera, Illinois. And he said that he thought it was going to get overturned and be an incomplete pass. This was the ball game. You know, this was Washington's last drive chance to win. I think they were down by six.
Yeah, it went from 23-17 to 30-17.
And it was ruled a fumble and then a touchdown.
I'm sorry, no, they scored a 2-point conversion on that.
Okay, so they had a chance to win the game. It was weird. So, you and I, Jamie, talked off the air, I think, yesterday about how we kind of feel like there's a chance the Redskins just have a pretty yucky year.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a good start. They had a very bad preseason. This was not a promising start for the Redskins.
No. Pryor had what could have been an easy touchdown. He fell down. Jamison Crowder was bad, fumbled. So... not what, and now you have the Jordan Reed thing that's hanging over his head, that he's playing with this, you know, fracture in his toe. Things could crumble really quickly for them. Hopefully that's not the case, but I hope that Cousins, as he's shown the ability to over the last couple of years, to be a very good quarterback. Maybe not great, maybe not upper echelon, but good. And if you have a good quarterback, that covers up a lot of things, but it is a new receiving core. Hopefully that doesn't, you know, lend itself toward a bad offensive season.
Yeah, I'll tell you something about Terrell Pryor too. He had a 50-yard touchdown catch go right through his fingers. I don't know how he missed it. It would not have counted. It would have been called back on a holding penalty. But I think you look at it and you see Pryor had opportunities to make plays, and that's what you're looking for in fantasy. You're looking for opportunities. So I don't think you're too discouraged by Pryor, right?
No.
Okay. Pittsburgh 21, Cleveland 18. Martavis Bryant. Well, first, Le'Veon Bell. Terrible game for him. Fewest total yards since his rookie season. 32 yards rushing, 15 receiving on 13 touches. Any concerns at all about Le'Veon Bell?
No. You know, you just want to hope that the holdout is not going to be something that lingers. And it's frustrating. I mean, look, it's frustrating when you have David Johnson not play to the level that he's capable of playing and then get hurt. You have Le'Veon Bell. You know, those are the two number two overall picks, you know, depending on what order you took them in. And we'll see what Melvin Gordon does, because LeSean McCoy was a monster and Devontae Freeman was good. So those were the top five running backs. And, you know, when you see those guys not necessarily playing like they're capable of, it hurts.
Are you concerned at all about Isaiah Crowell or Martavis Bryant? Total duds today. Well, Crowell wasn't a dud. He wasn't a dud.
I'm sorry?
Crowell was not a dud. I think he had a 2-point conversion, right?
So he ends up getting you 8 fantasy points. But I told you before the game I was nervous about Crowell because I think the Steelers' defense is going to be really good.
Yeah.
And they looked really good. And so Crowell, the thing you got to look at is 17 carries. There was no other running back of note that really had carries. Matthew Days got 3. Duke Johnson got banged up in the game. He came back in. Crowell had the 2 catches. You know, he's going to be around 20 touches a game. And behind that offensive line, it's not going to be pretty next week, but he's still going to be, by the end of the year, a number two running back that you'll be happy is on your team.
And Bryant, Martavis, let's just get him home where almost all of his touchdowns in his career have come.
Six targets. He'll be fine. You know, again, the only guy that really played exceptional, really, in this game was Antonio Brown. And, you know, Roethlisberger was good. He wasn't great. They'll be fine. You know, I guess Jesse James was exceptional.
All right, last thing, Corey Coleman. He catches the touchdown and saves his game, his stat line a little bit. 76% owned. Corey Coleman, 5 for 53 and 1. And they were impressed with Kaiser. He did fine. What do you think about Coleman at 76% owned?
Look, led them in targets. You know, Kenny Britt, yet to be a thing. Only 3 targets for him. He's going to be their guy. So I think if you're stashing him, you know, when next week again, not going to be the matchup to trust him, but there's going to be some moments and hopefully it happens soon where he takes off. He right now, behind Michael Thomas, I may be mistaken, but just off the top of my head, he's going to be the second best receiver from that class for this year.
For this year. Okay. So the second year guys, Corey Coleman. All right. That's it for Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Let's go to the Jets and the Bills. First though, it was week one. You had a lot of opportunities to play some daily fantasy. I sincerely hope you did so on the draft app this weekend. If you didn't, don't worry. You got a few more months to give it a shot. I love it. It's so fun. I love playing fantasy football on draft because I love doing snake drafts. And that's what you get to do on draft. Every single week, new snake drafts, as many as you want. They only take a few minutes. And I'll give you this limited time offer for new players on draft. Get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. You have to use our promo code FFToday. That's right. Play a real money game for free just by using our promo code FFToday on your first deposit on draft. So it's really great. I know we all love doing snake drafts. They're the best part of fantasy. They only take a few minutes. They're super fun. It's a different way to play. I love it. So join me on draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search draft in the app store. It'll come up first. Join a game in minutes. Play right at your computer on playdraft.com if you prefer. Whatever you want. Use the draft app and our promo code FFToday, and your first deposit, when you use FFToday, you get a real money game for free. All right, let's go to the Jets and the Bills. I had the Jets at +8. They lost by 9.
Todd Bowles is just a bad coach.
They're a bad team. But what are you going to say?
They're trailing whatever by 9. He punts on fourth down.
Yeah.
And then he goes for the stupid 2-point conversion to take them out of the chance of covering. Yep. You know, not that that's on his mind, but it was a bad chance to go for two.
It was on my mind, Jamie. It was on my mind.
Yep.
LeSean McCoy is amazing. And Mike Tolbert got a decent workload in this game, so I guess he's not the worst handcuff to own. Were there any takeaways? I mean, look, it was not a great week for quarterbacks, and if you scored 20 points, you did well, and Tyrod Taylor scored 21 with 38 rushing yards. He's at Carolina, then Denver, then at Atlanta in his next three games.
Yeah, this was a guy we were talking about that had a chance to be a good streaming option for you, good replacement for Luck, good replacement for Jameis. And really, the interception, I'm not going to put that on him. Ball went through Charles Clay's hands and ended up in a Jets defender in the end zone. So he could have potentially had 3 touchdowns. So I think if you're looking for any signs of life for this Bills offense, Taylor looks like he could be the guy that we saw a year ago when he was on his game. And like you mentioned, the 38 yards rushing, it was on 8 carries, so he's going to run the ball again. The receiving core, though, didn't necessarily step up. I don't know if they had to, but 3 targets for Jordan Matthews. 4 targets for Zay Jones. Neither guy had a big game. Jordan Matthews had a 47-yard catch that sort of boosted his stats a little bit. But Charles Clay, the numbers have been very good over the end of last year and the beginning part of this year. So if you're tired of Jack Doyle or frustrated with the Andrew Luck injury, so that's a guy you could look at.
Are you more encouraged that Bilal Powell had a lot more touches than Matt Forte, or discouraged that Bilal Powell did so poorly with those touches?
I think it's a little frustrating because, you know, we collectively as a fantasy analyst community, because it's not just us, not just our site, you know, anywhere you looked, everybody was telling you Bilal Powell is a good pick, if not a great pick, based on how he finished, based on the usage he should get. But I think collectively as a community, we forgot that Matt Forte is still on the team. And so Forte is just going to be an annoying factor.
But I was expecting Forte to have more carries, a lot more carries, and he didn't.
But I mean, you know, Powell had 7, Forte had 6.
Powell had five catches.
Forte had 3.
Yeah. We don't want that. But at least it's not like it was at the beginning of last year where Forte's getting 20 carries a game. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, I'll go back to the stat I said. I thought that they were going to, you know, lean on Forte more for week one because he's healthy and it was a game where I thought they'd be competitive, which they were. But it's just I think the upside of Powell is capped as long as Forte is healthy.
That is a fair statement. I was really upset with John Brown and Robbie Anderson, two guys that I started and thought they'd have good games, and they stunk.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're looking for somebody, Jermaine Kearse, you know, they said he's going to be their number one guy, and he led them in targets, one more than Anderson. Anderson had 4 catches for 22 yards. Kearse had 7 for 59. Nothing to write home about, but if you're in a PPR league, that's 12 points. And so if you're looking for a fourth receiver, a fifth receiver, you know, he's going to be in that. He's not anywhere close to Galladay or Kupp. He's not close to Aguilar.
He's not. That was my next question.
Yeah, he's at the bottom of the barrel of receivers to look for, but 14-team leagues, you know, you and I play in our podcast league. This is somebody I think you got to consider.
Okay. Detroit 35, Arizona 23. And any takeaways from this game that we haven't talked about? I think we kind of covered it.
I don't know if you could trust Carson Palmer. I mean, next week's going to be an interesting one. Like, I have him in 2 leagues. I'm nervous. You know, I mean, the 48 pass attempts is nice, but he looked bad. And Didn't get a lot of help from his receivers. J.J. Nelson scores the touchdown. You know, maybe that's something you want to buy into. Fitzgerald, 13 targets, 6 for 74. That's great PPR. Terrible in standard. Not terrible, but frustrating in standard.
Yeah.
Seven this fantasy offense points runs through David Johnson.
7 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues is probably, I'm going to guess.
I shouldn't have said terrible.
No, it's probably like around 24th or 25th most weeks. So that's
potentially
borderline number two receiver.
He was, if you're just stacking them up, he was the fourth receiver in this game because the three Lions guys did better than him fantasy point wise.
That's Fitzgerald. Amir Abdullah, I mean, look, it's kind of like, bad results, but he dominated the carries. He had 15 carries. Nobody else had more than 6. I don't know if he will get goal line carries, but we knew this was going to be tough sledding for Abdullah. It certainly was. 15 carries for 30 yards. That sucked. And Theo Riddick caught a touchdown on most people's benches. Atlanta at Chicago. What do you think of Hoopa? We haven't talked about him. First of all, somebody emailed me or tweeted me and said that Hoopa is the most annoying thing that I do. Which I think is crazy because I'm sure I do a lot of really annoying things, and that one's actually funny. I think that guy's never seen Jaws.
Probably has not seen Jaws. The bonanza is certainly the most annoying thing you do.
Right? That's what I thought he was talking about, and I looked at what he was replying to, and he was replying to Hoopa.
I love how everybody tweets at me and Dave and Heath and says, make him stop.
Boy, bonanza or Hoopa?
Yes.
Oh, bonanza? Yeah. It's never stopping, people. I'm not a sorcerer. It's not my fault. But Hooper had an 80-yard touchdown catch on completely busted coverage. Hooper,
yeah, 40-yard catch, too, on busted coverage.
Hooper or Clay?
Oh, Clay.
All right. Kendall Wright. With the Kevin White injury, does Kendall Wright, is that actually someone that people should hold on to? He's 54% owned.
Yeah, I think so. You know, they're going to have better performances from their receiving core moving forward, but I mean, just look at the target breakdown. It was 12 targets to Tariq Cohen, 6 targets to Zach Miller, 5 targets to Jordan Howard. Does that speak to trusting their outside guys?
No.
Not even remotely. And so, Atlanta has a good secondary. They're a little bit, I think, you know, if you're going to try to find a soft spot on the defense, it's probably their linebackers and coverage. I don't know, though, if I'm going to trust Kendall Wright to start most weeks moving forward.
Oh, hell no. I don't think anything changed, really, in this game. It's from a fantasy standpoint. Like, Freeman scored. Coleman didn't have a great game. But you're going to have to ride that out with Coleman. He's just going to be frustrating. And he did have 4 catches for 42 yards. And it was such a bad week for quarterbacks. Like, Matt Ryan, 19 fantasy points. Rodgers didn't play that well. Wilson and Mariota disappointed. Tom Brady scored, I think, 10 fantasy points. Like, terrible week for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, Baltimore 20, Cincinnati 0. Speaking of terrible week for quarterbacks, Andy Dalton, -4 points. Baltimore had the ball for 34 minutes. Joe Flacco scored 8 points, but he gets Cleveland. He gets a much better matchup in week 2 if you're desperate for a quarterback there. You got to be pretty happy about Terrence West. That was somebody you really liked this week. 19 carries, 80 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah. And you know, it speaks to, again, no Vonta's perfect and what this running back situation could be facing them. So if you're Lamar Miller and, you know, you're upset with his 9 fantasy points that he got, then, you know, maybe this is another game because Burfict's not going to play Thursday night. So I think with Terrence West, I don't know if I'm buying into Javorius Allen because they kind of do the same thing. This isn't really like a Danny Woodhead replacement. Mm-hmm. So if Woodhead's out for several weeks, I don't know if they throw Javorius Allen into that pass catching role and maybe they have to bring somebody else in. But the only thing really that discouraged me about West, and it could be because of the score, is he was, I think, like a 25 catch guy last year. And without Woodhead in there, only got 1 target, no catches. So I would like to see him involved in the passing game because I think that will help when he doesn't have a favorable matchup. But next week, I think you're going to be starting him regardless.
I mean, let's not give up on Woodhead yet. He barely played and he had 3 catches for 33 yards.
No, but he's hurt.
I know. But I'm saying, you know, if you stash him, like, you got exactly what you were hoping from Woodhead. Hopefully it's not too serious of an injury. Jeremy Maclin scored, but he just had 1 big play, a 48-yard touchdown catch. He had 2 catches in the game. And Mike Wallace had 1 catch for 8 yards on 1 target. It's probably not fair to judge. Just Flacco's been terrible at Cincinnati every time. But are you going to trust Maclin in week 2 against the Browns?
Yeah, I think I had him ranked like in my top 30 in this game because Pac-Man was out. And Sean Williams was out, and Burfict was out. So if you're just looking at, you know, encouraging. Okay, big play. Looks like he can still get open and you know, the slant route is such a big part of what their offense is. I'm pretty sure he scored on us on the slant route.
Yep.
Mike Wallace, not a factor. Tight end's not a factor. No Danny Woodhead potentially next week. So if they do throw the ball, look what Antonio Brown just did. So, you know, you cut that in half and that's maybe where Macklin can sort of fall in line, you know, be like an 80-yard guy, hopefully chance to score.
Drop or hold Dalton?
It depends on what you're owning him for. You know, if you're owning him to be a Luck, Jameis, you know, streaming replacement, drop.
Yeah, it might be tough sledding this week. Houston on Thursday, then it's at Green Bay, at Cleveland, Buffalo. Much better after that. But I don't give up on Dalton necessarily because he's been a solid fantasy quarterback, not great, but worth owning, and just had a bad game.
Yep.
Jacksonville 29, Houston 7.
Well, just
7.
Real quick, and same thing with Tyler Eifert. I didn't love the matchup for him. Only one target. That was extremely disappointing.
They didn't have the ball that much either. They got time of possession, big time, Cincinnati. Jacksonville 29, Houston 7. Yeah, I was actually pretty excited to pick up Blake Bortles in a league to start him next week against Tennessee. But I don't think I'm going to do that if Allen Robinson is out. He's still bad. 11 for 21, 125 yards. Ew. Let's talk about Lamar Miller and DeAndre Hopkins. And I sat okay. Hopkins for John Brown, and I loved it. I thought it was such a brilliant move. It was... But my honestly initial impressions were like not much has changed for Lamar Miller and maybe not for DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins scored the touchdown. He got 16 targets. But I don't feel great about them coming out of this game. What do you think?
Well, I think with Hopkins, if he doesn't score a touchdown, those 16 targets go for nothing because, you know, 7 for 55 is just awful.
Yeah.
So the touchdown saved him, thankfully. And Miller, I think if this was this was probably as bad a game as the Texans are going to play offensively. At least that would be my hope.
Mm-hmm.
And he came away with 9 fantasy points.
Yep. So, it's exactly like last year. Like, gives you enough total yards, gets the touches, but couldn't score.
He's always, last year, he was very consistently, I don't know the week to week, but very consistently a top 20 to 24 running back. So he's not killing you.
No.
He's just not giving you the huge upside that we thought he was going to have.
Right.
So I'm still encouraged by this. I think good matchup again Thursday night without Perfect in there. We know running backs on Thursday traditionally have performed well, and running backs against the Bengals without Perfect in there have performed well. Hopefully they get Dwayne Brown back. You know, that could be a big part of this offense
yes,
also
please.
Moving forward.
Boy, they need
and
that.
I do think that if Deshaun Watson does start, we see typically mobile quarterbacks help running games and running backs. So I'm not discouraged by Lamar Miller.
Okay. And Hopkins, like I said earlier in the show, Watson just loved him. So 11 targets in the second
Who else is he going to love, especially when Fedorowicz went out?
Yeah. Oakland 26 and Tennessee 16. Any major takeaways from this game? You already talked about Amari Cooper being a big winner. Any major takeaways here?
Well, I think we got to look at the Titans, you know, offense, and what kind of is this problem? Because their schedule doesn't exactly look great moving forward.
Oh gosh, the next 3 weeks at Jacksonville, Seattle, at Houston, then it gets better.
Right, and so can they manage their way through this? Now, Mariota was a touchdown away from being a monster quarterback for the week, just given what the quarterbacks look like, you know. So, had he found his way to another passing score, that would have been good. But looking at the targets, this was something that was something I wanted to look at going in. And they all got targets. Delanie Walker, 9. Rishard Matthews, 9. Corey Davis, 10. Eric Decker, 8. Now, none of them did anything great with it, which I think is the concern, is that it's just going to be who can you pinpoint week to week to be the best guy. That, I think, could be frustrating if you were banking on any of these guys to be significant contributors for you.
I'd like to see more pass attempts from Derek Carr. He had a good game. He scored 22 fantasy points, but they stopped throwing the ball. He was more of like a 32 passes per game kind of guy late in the season, and that's exactly what he had this week. Maybe a little bit more than that late in the season, but, you know, we'll see. I think we didn't like Marshawn Lynch so much this year. Probably a little bit more this week than this year, but he did well. 18 for 76.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he found a touchdown, he would have been a great running back this week. But it's the question was never going to be how he's going to perform early in the season. It was going to be, can he sustain for 16 weeks?
Yep.
And so we have a new member of our staff on CBS Sports, a new analyst, Danny Cannell, You probably know him from his days as an NFL quarterback. Certainly a very good college quarterback.
Can I boo him?
Analyst at ESPN.
Can I boo him for being a Seminole, or do I have to be nice?
Well, he was a Giant too.
He was a Giant. Actually, he is a great analyst. He was one of my favorite color commentators on ESPN. Outstanding.
So he's now part of our group, and he did our halftime shows on our video product on CBS Sports. But I was talking to him a little bit before in the first quarter of the games, and Marshawn Lynch had a couple carries, and then he came off the field, and Danny's like, you know, joking around. He goes, "Oh man, he just looks gassed," and you have to wonder if that's, you know, just working his stamina up. And, you know, look, kudos to him. He had a run where he ran over a Titans defensive lineman. He also got stuffed on a fourth down run where he couldn't get out of the way. So this was very encouraging if you bought into Marshawn Lynch that he got you, you know, 8 fantasy points and certainly the 18 carries for 76 yards.
Cool. 3 more games, Green Bay and Seattle. I do think we covered this game pretty well. 17-9, the final score. We'll wait and see. We don't want to overreact to one game. And the Packers have decent pass rushers, maybe a pretty good front seven. But how concerned are you right now about the Seattle offense? And is there any quarterback that you had ranked behind Russell Wilson that you're thinking, I'd actually take him over Russell Wilson rest of season?
No, because I want to see what they do the next few weeks when the schedule's great.
Yeah.
If he struggles against San Francisco, you know, if he has one of these games where it's the running game is dominating and the defense getting some scores and he doesn't do much, you know, has like 180 yards passing and maybe a touchdown. And, you know, we've seen that from him, you know, 30, 40 rushing yards and that's the end of it. Then I'd be frustrated. But, you know, only 2 carries, but showed the explosiveness running the ball with 40 yards on that, had a 29 yard run. His receivers, I don't think did him a lot of favors. Jimmy Graham had a bad drop on a third down throw. So I'm still okay with it. I didn't give the Green Bay defense enough credit. They played really great. Mm-hmm. The offensive line needs to still play better. That's a problem. They need to have a little bit more balance with their run game. But they get the tonic next week. They get to face a bad defense at San Francisco that lost potentially a key member of that defensive line with Reuben Foster. So I think the Seahawks will be fine.
Rest of season, Devontae Adams or Crabtree?
They were so close to begin with. I'll still take Adams because of his quarterback, but I have no problem if somebody wanted to go the other way.
All right.
And I don't want to say that Randall Cobb can't do this again. If you bought into Randall Cobb this year, you're doing a touchdown dance. He didn't do one, but you're doing one.
I can't believe he's 96% owned. He's not on any of my teams. And people kept drafting him, and I didn't really get it, but this was a really nice start for Cobb. 13 targets, 9 catches, and 85 yards against the Seahawks. All right. Let's go to the Rams 46 and the Colts 3. And the Rams had the ball.
Scored a touchdown in every which way possible.
Yeah, they had the ball. Oh, by the way, remember when I left early, the flex draft? You made fun of me for leaving early to catch a train.
Mm-hmm.
Remember who you drafted, which defense you guys drafted for me?
Oh, the team you picked was not the question. It was you leaving that.
I'm just saying, that was the one pick that was made without me. And you gave me the Rams. So right. It was very, thank you. The Rams scored 2
without
defensive.
Aaron Donald.
Yep, 2 defensive touchdowns, 1 right out of the gate. All right. Like, how patient are you? Nah, forget Moncrief. He's boring. Let's talk about Gurley. Because you're happy if you started Todd Gurley. He scored a touchdown. He caught 5 balls for 56 yards, but he averaged about 2 yards per carry. 19 carries, 40 yards, and a touchdown. Your overall thoughts on Gurley?
I think he's never going to live up to the expectations that we had after his rookie season. But I do think that he's going to have games like this where he grinds his way to good fantasy production. So the 5 catches, I think, is the best thing about the game.
Yeah.
The 19 carries for 40 yards is the worst thing about the game. And the touchdown run was nice. You know, he really pushed his way into the end zone, you know, and showed that he wanted to get in there on that touchdown run. So the offense, I'll say the same thing I said about him going into the year. The offense will be better. Goff will be better. Coach will be better. Situation will be better. Is he going to be better? I don't know if he was better today, but he was involved to the level that you are. Anytime you're going to get 20-plus touches from a guy that still has his level of talent.
Yeah, he is talented. He is talented. He really is. Cooper Kupp, 36% owned. He's going to be added in a lot of leagues. And I had one more question here. Oh, Kareem Hunt or Todd Gurley?
Kareem Hunt.
Carolina 23,
Real quick, though. Sammy Watkins, not the game we were hoping for either. 5 for 58, 5 targets. I want to see what this passing game can be when they're chasing points.
Yeah.
That's, I think, where they're going to be a little bit more valuable. We'll see if Goff will be valuable, but these pass catchers, I think, will be more valuable.
Yeah, Goff, 12% owned, I think. He threw for 300 yards. Not bad at all.
His first win.
Carolina 23, San Francisco 9. And this was a slaughter. Actually, that's not true. It was a slaughter in terms of time of possession. It was never really in doubt, I guess I'd say. But 14-point game. I was watching Cam Newton, and he was so inaccurate. I think he got better as the game went on, but I was
Yep.
Oh, you're terrible. But then he did get better. He didn't play that well. He had 19 fantasy points, or 16.
And the interception was a great interception.
It was
by the 49ers.
It was 16 fantasy points.
Put the ball
points.
Up a little behind Kelvin Benjamin. I don't know who intercepted it, but he went up and made a great catch to do it.
Kelvin Benjamin was definitely my biggest disappointment this week.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be great, and he was terrible.
How about my FanDuel lineup? You ready for this? Carson Palmer.
Same.
David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell.
Wait, are you serious, or are you just making fun of me?
No.
This is exactly what I did.
Oh, you did the same thing?
And I did John Brown, Robbie Anderson, and Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, we had two of the same receivers, except I had Terrell Pryor.
Pathetic. I didn't even look. I'm going to look right now. I bet I finished like last out of 100.
It was bad.
Because I don't have anybody on Monday night. So pretty awful. Pretty awful. Any other thoughts on Carolina and San Francisco?
Pierre Garçon, got to be excited if you're owning him in PPR. 10 targets, 6 catches, 81 yards. And if you're just interested to speculate on somebody, George Kittle, 6 targets, 5 catches, 27 yards. Numbers aren't great, but the targets were there. He's going to be their tight end. Kyle Juszczyk got banged up in the game. We'll see what his usage is moving forward. McCaffrey's fumble. I just hope that's not something that haunts him moving forward.
I lied, by the way. I had Mariota, not Palmer. So that was better. He actually had a
And Jonathan Stewart with a receiving touchdown. So if you were to say going into the week, I guarantee you that LeGarrette Blount and Jonathan Stewart are going to catch touchdowns, you got laughed at.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'm in 78th place and I'm done. So not going to cash in that 50-50 this week. All right, man. Thank you very much, Jamie. I appreciate all your effort this week. It's been very helpful. I know it's been a tough week, but thanks, man.
Yes, thank you. And I know we've talked about this a lot, but as some of you guys have reached out. My family's doing okay. I hope everybody in Florida is doing okay with the storm and anybody that's going to be impacted by it. So please continue to be safe whenever you're listening to us. And, hopefully your loved ones are safe as well.
Our next show is Tuesday, talking waiver wire. For Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. We'll see you then.
Bye.